Hello, everyone. Welcome back to a brand new episode of the 13th Man Podcast. It's Shane alongside Frankie, and we got a interesting week ahead for the episode today. A lot of NFL content.
We actually have some CFL news, too.
Yeah, a little bit of CFL news coming your way. It's it's an interesting time right now. We haven't been uploading consistently, and we apologize for that. Things have popped up in our personal lives that have made it a little bit harder right now to get things going. But, you know, we should be starting to hit regularity as the end of the year comes to, and then once 2021 hits, we'll be back in full throttle. If you already haven't checked out, we have our website, 13th Man Pod. You can check us out there. Articles coming out. We'll have more articles coming out in the near future, as well as more Canadian football stuff from U level and below. And yeah, I mean, check out our Redbubble page. Christmas is around the corner. Get your family, friends, loved ones some 13th Man merch for Christmas, some stocking stuffers. We got stickers, phone cases, stuff like that. Definitely check it out. You can find it on our website at 13thmanpodcast.com. But how are you doing today, Frankie?
I am all right, considering the circumstances, Shane. I don't know if you decided to go ahead and buy one of these new Xboxes or not, or PlayStations.
Nope, I do not have time to game, and I can spend a lot more money. I can get a lot more for the money that I'm spending on a new console right now.
That's true. But that's about the only thing that's been a thorn in my side lately, with Walmart not being exactly the most efficient at this, because I got to wait until next week to get mine now, which is disappointing, but it is what it is. We've got football on. We got that to talk about. Some CFL stuff, which is definitely not good. A lot of bad CFL stuff in the last couple of days / weeks. Just looking over my notebook here. I think we have... Well, the three things that I have that I want to talk about are the draft, the changes that are being made to the draft.
I love it.
Oseg's situation with Lansdowne Park.
Not surprising.
And Mike Riley's situation with the BC Lions.
Not surprising. So, let's get going. I haven't seen really anything much outside of the Dan Gilbert Saskatchewan report that came out from Three Down Nation about how they were wanting to sign him after a workout at Mosaic Stadium in 2016. I haven't seen anything really else in terms of CFL news. So no. We'll jump at the lower end of that, and we'll start with the Oseg situation here in Ottawa. And we've had our private conversation about it. Personally, I'm not surprised. To break it down a little bit for the individuals, the listeners who aren't very are familiar with Ottawa and haven't been to Ottawa yet, Lansdowne, where the arena, the building sits, it's an event-based area. A lot of restaurants, a lot of, let's go grab a drink or grab food after the game kind of thing. Personally, I've always said that it's not going to work out long-term. You're going to need more to bring in crowds when there isn't events. I know Frankie was saying that, they're trying to bring in more events, almost like one every second day or whatever the case may be. But it's still not enough. I think it's what they're asking for more city help. They're asking for to redo their agreement.
And it sounds like they're getting that, by the way.
Oh, I mean, the city would be stupid.
Oh, the city doesn't have a choice. How many millions of dollars they throw into this? What was it, 50 at least?
Something like that. It would be stupid. Like, I mean, the area isn't great to begin with. I think we can establish, we all agree on that. I think most people in Ottawa can agree that Lansdowne isn't necessarily the greatest part in the city. Like, it's not located greatly in the city. But overall, I think they'd be stupid. You'd have just a plot of land being unused, and you wouldn't really be able to do much with it.
And it's a plot of land, again, you just threw $50 million at or more. It's a plot of land that, frankly, needs a lot of work, because I think if you're not familiar with the situation that Lansdowne Park is in, the arena is situated right underneath the north side stands. That arena needs a lot of work. It's not the greatest structure anymore. It was built in, what, the early 67? 60s? Yeah, or the late 60s, I guess. It needs help. What does that mean for the Red Blacks? Well, if Oseg walks away from the deal, probably not great things. But the good news is it doesn't look like they're going to walk away because it appears they're going to get the help they need. And again, like the city doesn't have much of a choice. They kind of have to.
Yeah. And I mean, I've been saying it for honestly, since they started to reopen it and they kind of put out the land and the plan. And originally you need more than just restaurants to bring people in. It's the Glebe. And for people, listeners who aren't familiar with Ottawa, the Glebe is very rich. It's a very rich area. It has a very snobby history. There was a group in the Glebe that didn't even want the arena. Like they didn't even want Lansdowne developed.
There was a group that filed a complaint with Ottawa bylaw. I think it was that the green TD sign on the back of the stadium glared off the canal too much after 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah. And like, it's things like that, stupid things. But a lot of money there. There's a lot of well-off families in that area. You have a lot of 14 to 18-year-olds who can't drink yet who live in that area. They all go to Glebe and whatnot. And then outside of Rideau, there's not really many shopping areas around there. You know, you're going out to Bayshore, Saint Laurent, or Rideau. And I think Lansdowne needs to kind of look at what they have in store, like what they have as an attraction for that for that age group. Because, you know, you're not going to a restaurant. You're not going to go to Jack Astor's or Kraft or Joey's with your friends at 15, 16 for dinner. So I don't know any 15. I wouldn't do it when I was 15. I have no reason to go. It's a very, you know, you go there for drinks. Those are restaurants you go to have drinks. If you wanted to go to a restaurant, you're going to go to the Works, really, at that age. Works, Swiss Chalet, stuff like that. So personally, I think they need to bring in a Foot Locker. That's been my push. And you know, we've talked to CFL players. They love sneakers.
Yeah. One last thing before we move on from that. I had an interview with Mark Gowdy before the pandemic, and I believe it was the first day of the U Sport basketball national championship tournament. So just to give you an idea of how long ago that was now.
That was a good tournament.
That was a fun tournament. I went to that final game saying this might be the last sporting event I go to for quite some time. And I was lucky I got one more after that. It was the 67s and Ice Dogs, a 9-2 game. That was it.
I was at that game too.
But anyway, yeah, that Thomas Johnson goal was quite something there. But one thing that Mark Gowdy had told me at that interview was that they were looking to have events at Lansdowne like every other day. They wanted to get as many in there as possible. And that was part of the reasoning for bringing in the Blackjacks, Atletico Ottawa, and the Ottawa Aces, who just had to push back their start date to the 2022 season due to COVID. But those are things they can go hands off. They can let them kind of run themselves and generate some revenue from them. So without those events, obviously they're having a hard time making money. And that's what leaves them in this situation now.
Well, yeah. And I mean, but outside of the events, like you're the overall whole, like you're only going to go there for what? The LCBO?
Not Whole Foods, because people are boycotting Whole Foods again.
Yeah. But I mean, at the time you would have gone to Whole Foods, you would have gone to Winners and Sporting Life. That's it. That, like during the pandemic, there wasn't really anything else to do there.
Well, you know what, Shane? Actually, I was there the other day. I went to the 67s team store to buy a 67s toque. The place was packed. It was the middle of the afternoon on a Tuesday afternoon, and the place was absolutely packed. It was fantastic to see.
Yeah, because, I mean, patio season and whatnot, yeah. Still live. Like, the weather was fantastic. Like, patio season's great. It's just, you know, once that dies down, if there's no indoor seating, it's going to die off so bad down there. But, you know, we can talk about this for the entire show because it's been a problem since they came back, and I hope they kind of realize it and they address it and they make some changes.
Do you want to move on? Do you want to do the draft or do you want to do the Mike Riley situation now?
We'll do the Mike Riley. I think the Mike Riley one is pretty black and white.
Sure.
He's what, filing a grievance for money that he was owed?
For a guarantee that I heard that the Braley family didn't even know about, because it was a side deal that has been deemed like CFL teams are not supposed to be doing this, is my understanding of the situation.
Yeah, it's the the Borden pass thing or something like that.
I couldn't tell you exactly what it is.
It's like the 400,000, right? That's the thing that he's going after.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, hey, if it's in his contract, you kind of owed it.
But this is, I believe it was Farhan Lalji that was saying that this is the reason that Ed Hervey was abruptly let go of there.
Would not be surprising if that's the case.
Like, I don't think it's a great idea to have your owner unaware of what a player's contract says and what they are owed at what particular time. That's not a great business model.
Nope.
And yeah, like that would totally make sense if that was the reason why Ed Hervey is no longer the general manager in BC.
Didn't he have the same situations
in Edmonton?
Yeah. Like, I'm pretty sure he had the same kind of issues in Edmonton that he had in BC. So
yeah.
Doesn't have the greatest track record, that's for sure.
No, and you know what? I was listening to TSN 1200 the other day, and I was listening to what AJ Jakubik was saying about it, and they kind of brought the whole argument back to revenue sharing, because this is something that you can't have happening. You can't have the BC Lions digging out extra money that doesn't count against the salary cap to give to a guy to make sure he comes and plays for them when the teams like the Argos or the Owls might not have that option, right? And not to say that the Argos don't, because realistically, the Argos could just buy whoever they wanted to with MLSE's money. But
yeah, realistically,
they won't, because it's not Argos money. They're not going to spend Raptors or Maple Leafs money on the Argos just because.
No, not right now, at least.
But you can't have teams that are doing this. You can't have, and that's why the coaches cap was put into place. You can't have the Saskatchewan Roughriders, who just buy all of the best coaches in the CFL and give them more money to be an offensive coordinator than Montreal can for them to be the head coach. That's how you build a balanced league. And I think I'm starting to really get on board with that revenue sharing idea, because like the way it was pitched, it's essentially sports communism.
Every league besides baseball has revenue sharing. It's the only way to thrive.
And that's the same reason why we see, I had an argument with a guy that ended up, you know, with a lot of crap going on, but that's why we have teams like the New York Yankees, who spend $1 billion in 5 years on players. And then we have the Oakland Athletics, who can barely spend $3 and a bottle of soda on players.
Yeah, like revenue sharing is how you grow with a league. It's how the NBA has grown. It's how the NFL has grown. It's how the NHL has grown. Revenue sharing is the way of the future, and it's the way of pro league needs to work.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to be under sole proprietorship, you're going to have to do revenue sharing. And realistically, it doesn't hurt in the long run. Yeah, it may hurt a team like Saskatchewan and Edmonton or Calgary or Winnipeg, because you know you're going to get those big bucks because, you know, you're the dominant teams. But it doesn't hurt the league in the long run, because you're allowing Montreal, Toronto, and BC to kind of put in a little bit more money in marketing and putting in a little bit more money in promotions to in, you know, 5 years, where they'll be able to not need a big portion of that revenue sharing.
Yeah. And you either all do well or none of you do well. And I think that's something the CFL has to kind of embrace, because you can't leave the Owls behind. You can't leave the Argos behind anymore. You've got to boost them all up and grow everything together, right? Like the business idea of Saskatchewan has a ton of money. Calgary and Edmonton have a ton of money. And then we leave some of these teams behind just because they don't want to share. It's not going to work.
No, not it's not how the league is going to survive. And that kind of moves on to certain things of like how it's run. And, you know, this is, COVID might be a blessing in disguise for the league.
It could be, if they make the changes that they need to make. If they don't, it's just another opportunity wasted.
And I think they're going to do it. I think they'll make the changes necessary. I think I think their focus right now is 2021, and they'll get a 2021 season going and then worry about everything after.
Yeah.
But it kind of slots into the draft too. That kind of transitions us right into the draft. They're going fantasy style. They're going 1 through 9 in a random order. It's going to be randomly generated, I'd assume, kind of like a draft lottery. And then you're going to go 1 through 9 and then 9 through 1. Yeah. So if you pick 9th in the first round, you're going to pick 1st in the second round. No territorial picks, I believe.
No territorial picks. Yeah. And it's just six rounds instead of 8. That's bad. That's a bad
right there. Oh man. I mean, hey, if you're going 8 rounds in that,
all right, Shane. All right. We don't need to make it worse.
Hey, I'm just saying. But anyways, it's only going to be 6 rounds. They're also allowing players to defer their draft year to 2022 because of the ability to go back to school. And they're expecting a lot of players to do so. I think you're going to see a lot more NCAA players picked than you would see CIS players.
Yeah. Well, you know what? The one name, and I think it's probably the only guy that I've actually had the chance to talk to so far that interests me going into this is Alain Semenkienda. And yeah, that's that's how you pronounce it, Shane.
What are you doing? I know. I played with him.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, I had a chat with him for an article with Glue Magazine that's done like in conjunction with Algonquin College and Carleton University. But I think that's the only name that I've seen so far that has an Ottawa connection that's going to be in this draft. But I don't know. I think that'd be a pretty fun pick for the Red Blacks. That's a player I kind of want.
Dude's a beast.
He is.
So story time. Him and I never got, like, we never really saw eye to eye when we played together. But I'll never deny how good of a player that he is. He's just unnatural. He's one of those guys that I think I know there's a lot going on personally, so I don't want to talk too much about it because I don't know everything, but like, I do think that he could have gone Div 1 and he should have gone Div 1. I think there's Div 1 schools that regret not going after him or not recruiting him. I think he's a beast. I'm pretty sure he either has the most sacks in Guelph history or is like top 5 in
sacks. He's going to be upset if I get this wrong, but I think he was going to break it this year.
Yeah, I think he had the state. Yeah, like, I mean, if there was a season.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's coming back to Carleton. Dude's a beast on the end.
Well, we don't know that he's going back to Carleton yet.
I thought it was official. Carleton's been posting pictures that he's transferred over to Carleton.
Oh, yeah, yeah, because he transferred before the season. But I don't think I don't think he said that he is planning on going back next year. I know Jonathan Edward has said that. Too sure about LA.
I feel like he would. I mean, if you could, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, we need to get him on the show and really talk to him about it.
That's going
to
happen. Don't worry.
Yeah, dude's a beast. I would love to talk to him. I haven't talked to him in years.
That's happening. He's already agreed. We just got to pick a date at this point.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I'm about it. But it's interesting. Fantasy draft style is going to be fantastic. I can't wait for it. Well, it's going to be interesting.
We're going to figure out at a later date when that – well, we're going to figure out a later date when the date that the thing is drawn is, but we don't know what the order is yet. And honestly, I don't think it's too big of a deal if we end up seeing, like, Calgary number 1 and then – Toronto number 9. I don't think it's going to make that much of a difference. And I think this draft is going to be more of a crapshoot than normal because you haven't watched these players play in over a year.
Yeah, but I mean, your players aren't just going to forget how to play, right?
Like, oh, no, but you haven't seen that last year of tape from them yet.
No, but I mean, there's not a lot of players who draft stock rises that much after 1 year, realistically.
Yeah. Well, it's just like, more of, it's not, there's no such thing as a surefire thing in the CFL draft ever. Doesn't matter. You have the first overall pick and he might never play it down. We saw that with Hamilton, 2 years ago when they drafted that guy out of Central Michigan. And I think this year is just going to be more of the same. Like you said, I think we'll see a lot more NCAA players that get picked, and whether they come to Canada ever is up in the air. We don't know.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. You know what I'm going to mention? And I've given him a hard time. And it's Ottawa boy, Neville Gallimore. He started the last two games in for Dallas and has been a good run defender. He has done really well against the run the last 2 weeks. And I'll go on record and saying that I didn't think he would be able to succeed. I didn't think he'd be given a chance really in Dallas to succeed. And he started the last 2 weeks. He had a couple of big stops against Pittsburgh. Dude's a beast, and I hope that I'm wrong and we don't see him up here, but I think there's a chance. But he's started off really well.
Speaking of that, do you want to transition to our NHL? Dude, I keep doing this. On this show I'll say NHL, and then on my hockey show I'll say NFL. I don't know what's wrong with me.
Yeah, I represent the O-line in the back right here. Got Revenberg and Dennis.
I'm representing Carey Price, the Carolina Hurricanes, and the Ottawa Senators.
Weird. Yeah. Kits are brought to you by Customized Sports. They're fantastic. But anyways, yeah, we'll transition to our NFL week 9 recap.
Yes, week 9. Do you want to start with your Steelers again?
I mean, how about we start with your Bills?
Okay. You know what? I'm not even going to try to describe how Josh Allen played. Shane, we got every touchdown Josh Allen scored here queued up. So we're just going to roll that out. Like, here you go. Sit down, enjoy, watch Josh Allen be great.
Plenty of time for Josh Allen. Wide open. End zone. Touchdown, Buffalo Bills. Isaiah McKenzie hauls it in, and he's dancing. Allen dumps it off at the 25. Moving his Singletary all the way inside the 10. It'll be this team. Allen looks one way. Middle of the field. Catch made. And that's going to be a Buffalo touchdown. Allen to throw again. And has all day to do it. Josh Allen ends up throw. That's going to be a Buffalo touchdown to Gabriel Davis. It's coming on 3rd and 6, and Allen is on the move. Can he find anybody? The coverage, not good enough. Low to the ground. Cole Beasley. Allen throws and open inside the 20. Gabriel Davis. Gabriel Davis just short. 2 interceptions. Josh Allen trying to reach the end zone and leaps in for a Buffalo Bills touchdown.
Okay, now, so I'm going to just mention real quick, if you cup block, you're a bitch. I hate it. Cup blocking is the worst fucking kind of blocking there is. You will never understand it until you blow out, you get your knee blown out because of it. You get tackled like that or you get blocked like that and you blow out your knee because of it. It is the worst. Cup blocking downfield, the worst. If you have to cup block someone downfield, you're not good. You're not a good blocker. It's that simple. I hate it. Piece of shit. Needs to get out of the game. It's worse than a blindside block.
Which play was that?
Josh Allen's touchdown, run. There's two cut blocks. It's worse and more dangerous than a blindside block coming back to your own end zone. Like, worse. I guarantee it. You have, let's say it's intercepted. Someone cut blocks Josh Allen. He tears his ACL. He's out for the season. Bills fans are pissed. I guarantee it. Bills fans are livid.
Oh, yeah.
Like, cut blocking is the worst kind of blocking. I said it with the Steelers. I'll say it with the Red Blacks. If you have to cut block, you aren't doing your job properly.
I want to point out two additional things that are outside of that. One, that Gabriel Davis play where he was thrown out of bounds near the goal line, that actually should have been a touchdown. So that would have eliminated that play. I believe it was the run. Or no, I think it may have, I don't know. It would have eliminated one of his touchdowns. That ball actually did cross the plane, and he was never out of bounds. Two, when you see Josh Allen point up to the sky after that running touchdown, Shane, that is because his grandmother passed away this week. And Bills fans did something pretty special for Josh Allen and his grandmother this week. They raised in excess of $200,000 for Oshai Children's Hospital in the Buffalo area. And we have a clip from Josh Allen's press conference about that, too. So do you want, I'm just going to roll that now.
There's not a lot of words that I can use to describe it, how awesome this place is. And, you know, I saw donations coming in quickly after the game, and it got to 5,000. I was just like, holy crap. Like, that's a lot of money being raised in her honor. And now where we're at is just crazy. And, you know, for just one guy to put it out there, be like, hey, let's do this in honor of her. And it's a truly special place. And I know my family is forever, you know, in engraved here, and myself included. And I don't ever want to leave, obviously. And I want to play here for as long as I can, and give back to the community and give back to Bills Mafia here.
So this is what, the second time the Bills have done, the Bills fans have done this? Because didn't they do this?
Bills fans do this all the time.
But didn't they raise a bunch of money for Andy Dalton's foundation after he basically secured them a playoff win or playoff berth?
Like this is, if you're not familiar with how this started, it was one dude that has like some kind of Bills website, I believe. He said, hey, let's everybody donate $17 to this children's hospital and donate it under Josh Allen's grandmother's name. And I think that's one of the things that makes Bills Mafia so special.
100%. I agree. And I mean, it's a great gesture and it's fantastic. It's just unfortunate that it had to be till someone died to do it.
Well, I mean, this is like kind of an additional, like it's an additional thing, I guess.
Yeah. But I mean, I think it's like one of those like bittersweet moments where like, this is a really great gesture and a really great thing. Unfortunately, it happened after a really tragic event, right? Like, it's just one of those bittersweet moments that you just cherish and you're like, man, this is really where the good in people happen.
Yeah.
Seeing how people do this when there's a tragic event, it shows the good that there's still good in a lot of people. But going back to the football game, I think most people heading into it figured it was going to be a battle of like, I was expecting a shootout, really, because both defenses aren't that great right now. I just wasn't expecting the Bills to win it.
Well, it's funny you say that you were expecting a shootout and you didn't expect the Bills to win it, but it actually wasn't a shootout. Like, if you look at the scoreboard, obviously both teams scored a lot of points. The Seahawks scored a lot of garbage time points.
That's true. That is very true.
But like the Bills defense was very, very good. DK Metcalf didn't get into the end zone. AJ Klein actually figured out how to play football. Like, he sacked Russell Wilson twice. One of them, he sacked him and took the football straight out of his arms. He had four quarterback hurries. Tre'Davious White ended with an interception. Russ threw two picks with two fumbles. Like, it was an absolute clinic. That, other than maybe the Jets game in New Jersey this year, that is the best that the Bills defense has looked this year.
But I think it shows how bad Seattle really is.
Yes. Well, I mean, defensively.
Even offensively, like, they don't have a running game right now because of injuries. Like, there are a lot of players hurt for Seattle right now, and, you know, if those players were healthy, maybe it's a different game, but, you know, that's a lot of what ifs. So I think Seattle has its issues. It has its weaknesses. Obviously, Allen played out of his mind, and you knew he would have to for them to win, because I'm pretty sure Buffalo has their own issues in the run game this season.
Bills, there was one point in the game where the Bills, I think, had three rushes, one from Zach Moss, one from Devin Singletary, and one from Josh Allen. Every other play was a pass. Like, the Bills sat back and they passed the ball the entire game because there's no pass rush from the Seahawks, even though they ended up with seven sacks. That's mostly just because the Bills refused to run the ball. There's no secondary play. Jamal Adams is absolutely atrocious in coverage. All he can do is blitz. Like,
well, no, I mean, he also doesn't, like, there's not a very good supporting cast.
No, but and they the picked him apart.
Yeah, but I mean, it's easy to pick a safety apart.
Now, it didn't help in coverage, I'll tell you that much. Like, wasn't rushing the passer, he was pretty useless.
Yeah, but I mean, to be fair, he's one guy, right? Like, one guy can change a defense, but to a certain extent. I wouldn't, you know, realistically, you put Cam Chancellor back there, he doesn't make a difference with the way the defense is right now.
He's no better than anybody next to him in coverage.
No, but I mean, that's not surprising considering that he was never a great coverage. He's a double team safety. That's really like, I would never want Jamal Adams as a single. I would never trust him in single coverage.
Yeah. I think what we learned though at this game, the blueprint to beat the Seahawks just got discovered. Played pretty much unstoppable on offense, as hard as that is to replicate.
But I mean, that's for any team, right? If you have a consistent and executing offense, you're going to beat most teams.
You just need to score points and take time off the clock to beat them, though. Like you need your defense. Though. Yeah, but you need your defense to not let DK Metcalf get going. And I think you can let Tyler Lockett do whatever you want. You cannot let DK Metcalf get going.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think that's kind of the recipe to beat most teams is, keep them on the sideline, stop their best player, and score more points. That's kind of the recipe to beat anyone.
Yeah. Getting to Russell Wilson's face made a big time difference. Think,
like, realistically, I've been saying it, like, that's how you beat KC. You keep Patrick Mahomes on the sideline, and you just execute offensively because their defense isn't that good.
Yeah.
I think with the Seahawks, you allow Tyler Lockett to beat you. You force someone else besides DK or Tyler Lockett to beat you.
Yeah. Do you remember that article that I wrote for us about my tier list? I had like the elite, the good, the okay, the bad, and the and
yeah.
There's nobody in that elite tier anymore. Not a single team.
No, and I've been trying to tell you this for like 3 weeks, and you just were like, oh, well, like last week, I'm pretty sure you had like three teams in the elite tier, and you had Pittsburgh in there, and I tried telling you, no, they're not elite.
Yeah, Pittsburgh like, was a team that they looked bad against Dallas, and now Big Ben's on the COVID list.
Yeah, because their offensive play calling is atrocious.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how bad, like how much worse your offensive play calling can be. They have the players. You saw it. Their two-minute offense ran over Dallas. They couldn't be stopped. Their two-minute offense couldn't be stopped against Tennessee. If they run the like in their passing game, they're one of the best passing teams in the league. But I don't know how many times it was run, run, pass. You can't, it's the same thing with the Red Blacks. It was always run, pass, run, pass, run, pass. When you become predictable, you become beatable. And they were too damn predictable against the Cowboys outside of their two-minute offenses.
You know what I saw when I watched that Steelers game? I saw an AFC that is waiting for the Buffalo Bills to kick the door down, to come in, get their defense going. And if that defense could go on, this thing might change 180 very quickly.
I don't think so, because I honestly don't think that the Bills can stand up with the Steelers
defensively. I think that's the Bills defense is healthy now for the first time this whole season, and they still don't have Matt Milano.
Yeah, but Pittsburgh's defense has been number one the last couple, like last 3-4 weeks without Devin Bush.
Right.
Overall, but Pittsburgh's defense is number one in the league. Like, I think if Big Ben, and who should still be able to play if he doesn't have any positive tests throughout the week, he should be cleared and whatnot. I'm not really worried about that. If the play calling becomes better and more unpredictable and keeps the defense off the field longer, Pittsburgh's defense is going to steal games. Like, okay, I got two clips of quite a bit from that Dallas game. On defense, both Fitzpatrick and, you know what, best first round pick we've ever traded for. Not even gonna lie, I am totally okay. I was totally okay giving up a first.
Coming fast, he gets rid of it. Ball comes out. electric. The catch, the strip.
So Fitzpatrick always seems to be in the right place at the right time when it comes to changing the game. That was his one of two takeaways in the game against Dallas. And I mean, they weren't middle school. Like, they were actually relatively big turnovers. And I can't remember. Why can't I remember who? And Cameron Sutton is the one who stripped the ball. And then you have this interception in the end.
In the game, they can do it, but it's very difficult. They hit him when he throws it. He's intercepted. Who else? Minka Fitzpatrick tackled down by Cooper.
Like, can we just talk about the pass rush there? Like, just J.J. Watt and Bud Dupree are just annihilating players on the outside.
Yeah.
And then you have Cameron Hayward and Stephon Tuitt on the inside kind of just doing damage. Spillane has done a great job at replacing Devin Bush. Obviously, he's not Devin Bush, but he's done probably the best thing since, like, you could expect from Devin Bush. And I'm pretty sure they just activated Williams that they traded for out of the Jets, who should be slotting in. And I mean, Highsmith has also stepped up and had a couple of key interceptions and tackles. I don't know. I think the Bills, I think realistically, you could see the Bills as number two. I think they have that game against the Chiefs, right?
They've already played that.
Did they?
Yeah.
Why do I feel like that was later in the season?
No, that was the week after the Titans game, and those were the two Bills losses.
Right.
But on that note, the Bills have played six teams right now that would be in the playoffs if they started today. They're 4-2 in those games, and the Bills are actually 7-0 playing on Sundays right now. So
I mean, that game, they play the Cardinals this week, and then they have their bye. Yeah.
And then it's a bye.
And then it's the Chargers, a beat-up 49ers team. I'm that what week 14 matchup against the Steelers is going to be huge.
Yeah. And that's the thing with the NFL too. The Bills and the Steelers going head to head, I think, is going to be a coin flip. The question is, do they meet in the playoffs? And is it still a coin flip at that time? Because if you're Buffalo or Pittsburgh, all you need to do is win that game one time. Doesn't matter how you do it. You got to find a way to win it one time.
If Pittsburgh is the host, like if Pittsburgh can get the bye, they're bougie. They're set. They're gonna walk. They're gonna go to the AFC final. I guarantee that if they get the bye. My thing is that they could see, like, realistically, confidently, I think you're looking at a 15-1 Steelers team.
Who's the loss?
Ravens. I don't see them being able to beat the Ravens twice this year.
Okay.
I just don't see it happening. I think, you know, it's hard to beat a team twice in a single season, and I think the Ravens are going to be that one loss. And it's no disrespect to the Bills.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be good, but I feel like the defense, like, there's so many question marks on the consistency of the Bills defense. Like, you know, if let's say they sputter against Arizona, do you feel as confident that they can go head to head against Pittsburgh?
Oh, like definitely. But their defense has been spotty at best all year. But the thing that has me excited is the way they played against Seattle. Like, what, the best offense in the NFL at this point? It was not only inspiring. It was like last year.
Yeah, but I mean, if they don't, let's say they sputter against Arizona, you know, very inconsistent. What defense are we going to get against Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
If they get one of those like below average performance defenses against Pittsburgh, I just don't see it being a good game for Buffalo. It's not that simple for me, at least.
One of the things to look at too is the progression of Josh Allen.
It's been great.
The first what 3 weeks, 4 weeks, he was an absolute animal. Then he gets hurt in the Raiders game. Then he's banged up. Consistent with where his injury would be kind of getting on the mend. You're looking at the game against the Patriots where the conditions were poor and they didn't throw the ball much. And then this was the week that you're expecting him to be fully healed. And he looked like he did before he got hurt. So if you want to say that's an excuse, whatever. It's an excuse, I guess. But that's the way it is.
I mean, I think it's legit. I think it's a great I think it's great for the Bills. And I mean, I would love to have a very important week 14 matchup.
Yeah.
Because before we move on, I know the rest of their matchups aren't going to be very important. Like the Steelers matchups after that Bills one is like Cleveland, Indianapolis, and yeah, it's the Bengals, Colts, and Browns the following 3 weeks. And I just realistically, we're probably going to sit at like, I don't know, 12 and 1 heading into those 3 weeks. 12 and 1, 11 and 2 if we lose to the Bills.
Before we move on, I want to bring up this clip from Eric Ebron. It's Eric Ebron, right?
Yeah. Eric Ebron. I love this signing. I know a lot of Steelers fans weren't excited about it, but I loved it.
We're going to roll that clip now because this was the game-winning touchdown for the Pittsburgh Steelers this week.
One, you can let them score if you're Dallas. If all three, you're trying to protect it, make them kick a field goal. Ebron hurdles home for the touchdown.
Boom. I just love Tony Romo being like, you're okay with them scoring, but you want to hold them for a field goal, and then they go in and score as he's saying it.
Context to that is he was saying if you don't have any timeouts, you should let them score.
Yeah.
But they have all three, so.
It's just funny that, like.
But that's the context.
You're just like, he's saying, oh, you hold them for three if that's what you're hoping for, right, when you're that low. Like, if you can't get a turnover, the next best thing is three, and then you only have to go down and kick a field goal to win, and then you go ahead and let them score a touchdown.
Yeah.
I just thought it was funny.
Next order of business, Shane, we have the blooper of the week from the NFL referees, and it's this. We're going to start this clip here. You'll be able to hear us over this one. It's going to start. The play clock is going to be at zero. Watch this whole play. So play clock's already at zero. If you notice, there's about 4 seconds that come off of that clock. This play ends up going for a touchdown and being the difference that was the margin. If that doesn't count, we might be looking at a Jaguars win.
I've been saying this, and it's not just because I'm a Steelers fan. The officials this year have been so fucking bad. They've been so inconsistent all year. Like early in the game against the Cowboys, Claypool gets held, literally gets hugged, and nothing's called. And I just knew from that moment on, it was just, that was the game. It was going to be that kind of game.
Shane, I watched Josh Allen throw an interception that his tight end caught. Like, it's bad. It's bad.
I understand. I could do a better job. Like, honestly, like, it's not hard. You just need to call the...
Why? The NBA has a shot clock. Lacrosse has a shot clock with a buzzer. Why does the NFL not have buzzers on their game clock?
I don't know. Why do you need 40 seconds? I hate that. I hate the 40 second shot clock. You don't need 40 seconds.
But either way, I saw somebody say that they don't have a play clock because it would have to be loud enough to be heard over the fans. What's the NBA do? Like, put buzzers on the clocks, for God's sake.
Well, to be fair, it's a little bit different because you have your whole scoreboard that lights up.
I mean, like, you can still install buzzers.
Yeah, but I'm saying that, like, it's a little bit different because what are you going to do? Have the goalposts light up? Like, what?
No, like you can have.
But you don't always hear the buzzers. And like, if you're watching an NBA game, you don't hear the buzzers all the time.
Then have the goalposts light up.
Like, and that's the thing, is it's a little bit different because you do have the goalpost, like, you have the backboard in the NBA light up to kind of give you that signal. And you also have the shot clock above the head. Like, you have the shot clock above the scoreboard, like above the backboard.
How about this then? You know, like every single stadium has the game clock in each end zone.
Yeah.
Have that thing light up when it hits zero.
Or just have competent officials that know how to keep,
I don't want to see this, oh, the clock's at zero, but we give them an extra second. No. What's the zero for then?
Like, I know there's times where the shot clock on the TV doesn't match up because I've seen it.
That was like 4 seconds. There's no way it was that off.
100%, but this isn't the first time. There's been plenty of games, plenty of video evidence of it happening with Tom Brady where he's like 4 or 5 seconds after the shot clock, after the play clock has run out before he snaps the ball.
We saw one with the Bills and the Texans in the playoffs last year. Like, I don't know. The officiating is just incompetent.
The officials suck. The officials is amateur. It's beer league. It's bush league. Like, it's horrible.
While we're at it, let them review field goals, because Tyler Bass hit one this year that didn't count. But anyway. Do we want to talk about the Chiefs? Because they should be concerned. They beat the Carolina Panthers because Carolina missed a field goal at the end of the game.
Yeah, because they had horrible mismanagement. Horrible time management. They freaking threw it down the middle twice.
The Chiefs are not as good as they were last year.
Chiefs defense isn't good. It wasn't good last year. It's not good this year. The problem was, not even the problem. What it was Patrick Mahomes was able to throw the ball and make plays happen. They were able to score 40 points a game and not have to worry about giving. They just had to score more. It was that simple. Like, the defense knew, like, oh, we can give up 30 points because I know our offense is going to score 40. This year, you have teams, and this is the problem with Andy Reid. You get tape on him. You get time to game plan against him. He's beatable. They're not pulling out these tricks anymore that teams aren't – like, teams know how to stop Patrick Mahomes. Teams know how to stop Sammy – like, to stop Hill and Kelsey. Yeah, they have a better running game. But realistically, the offense this year has been atrocious. Like, till Hill hasn't been great. Kelsey hasn't been great. Like, their overall receiving core hasn't been that good.
And that's why if you're – again, I'm going to bring up Buffalo, because even if you want to go Pittsburgh and Baltimore, you're looking around at the rest of the teams that are going to make the playoffs in the AFC, and you're like, yeah, I can beat that team. Every single team in the AFC right now that is going to make the playoffs is confident they can beat every other AFC playoff team.
100%. Realistically, there's only four teams in the AFC that I'm really worried about right now, and that's Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Buffalo, and KC.
Those are your big four.
Those are the only four teams that I'm really worried about.
Well, who's our other division winner?
Tennessee's leading the AFC South.
No, yeah, Tennessee.
But even then, I'm not worried about it. You stop Henry, you force Tannehill to throw. You know, their defense isn't that good either.
I'm gonna give them the benefit of the doubt. I'll go big five.
See, I can't. Maybe it's because we were able to beat them. I don't know. But, you know, I think realistically, if you look at defenses, the only two that really concern me is the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Baltimore Ravens. Like, if I'm going to put a tier, if I'm going to do tier one, tier two, and tier three, tier one is Baltimore and Pittsburgh. Because they are probably the most well-rounded teams in the AFC. Tier two, you're going to have Buffalo and KC and maybe Tennessee. I'll put Tennessee in there, but they're very low tier two, almost tier three. Bills, if their defense can get really, really good, like can get consistent, like what they did against the Seahawks, they're tier one. No doubt about it. No question in my mind.
Yeah, other than moments in that Patriots game, like I thought over the last 3 weeks, you can make arguments that they played really well either for the vast majority of the game or for good chunks of the game.
Yeah, and I think it's just a matter of time. I think that week 12 matchup against the Ravens and the week 14 matchup against the Bills is really going to signify how these teams are going to shape up. Because I think either way, the Steelers are going to play either KC, Buffalo, or Baltimore in that, divisional round? Because it's now a wild card
divisional. Assuming they get the bye, because there's seven teams that are going to make it, and one gets a bye.
Even if they don't get the bye, I think those are one of those four teams will get the bye. So you're going to have to play, like, realistically, it's the
wild. You're looking at a first round of probably Miami, Cleveland, and Indianapolis, I think is what we're looking at right now.
Yeah, it's going to be those three with against any of the division winners, three of the division winners. I mean, realistically, no, you were looking at, oh man, I don't even know. Let me pull up the playoffs real quick.
I believe it's Miami, Cleveland, Indianapolis, but I could be wrong about Cleveland.
No, I think Cleveland's okay. So it's Baltimore, Las Vegas, and Miami that are in the wild card.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I forgot Baltimore wasn't leading that division. Sorry.
How do you?
It's just kind of a given. I don't know, dude. Like, we get so brainwashed with how good Lamar is.
So it's Pittsburgh, KC, Buffalo, and Titans. Right now in the AFC, you're gonna have the KC. You're gonna have KC versus Miami, Buffalo versus the Raiders, Tennessee Done. Versus Easy. The Ravens. And then the second round would be the Steelers versus the lowest seed and whatnot. And realistically, I think the lowest seed would be Buffalo or Baltimore in that situation.
Yeah.
Because I see them beating Tennessee. So it'd be a Steelers, Tennessee, KC, Buffalo matchup in the second round. Like, and then you're going to play the winner of, so I think it's going to be that one of those two of those four teams will be in the AFC championship.
Well, one of them for absolute certain.
I don't see any of the
team. I don't either.
I don't see Tennessee being a dominant team in the playoffs. I don't. I think they got lucky last year. I think teams didn't respect them and Vrabel used it to his advantage.
Let's move on to another team that I want to talk about. One of those bubble playoff teams. I want to talk about the Miami Dolphins real quick.
Okay.
Because I don't necessarily understand why they are being hyped up to be the best team in the AFC East right now.
Because it's
won,
Tua,
They've
man.
Won two games. But Tua hasn't – well, in the first game, Tua threw for less than 100 yards. It was his defense that won him that game. They beat Arizona. Sure, good win. I'll give you that. But that defense that everybody is talking about that is so good, Josh Allen threw for 417 yards on or something like that. So let's push the brakes on the Dolphins being the best team in the AFC East, but they're a good team.
Yeah, so they threw for that many yards. And they what, won by three?
The defense, again, played pretty poorly.
But, like, you're saying, okay, they threw for 400 yards, but they only lost by three. They gave up 31 points, still lost by three.
It's also just the argument of...
And that was a Fitzpatrick-led Miami team.
Yes.
I think you have to look at the Tua effect. Tua brings the hype. Tua was one of the most hyped-out players coming out of college in the last 5 years, realistically.
Is it warranted? I don't know. I haven't had too much of a chance to sit down and watch Tua play yet.
See, I like Tua. I think Tua's going to be, like, he's going to be really well. You know what, though? He was 20 for 28, 248 yards, two touchdowns. He was sacked three times, which is whatever. He had zero interceptions. He rushed for seven times for 35 yards. To me, he was the second leading rusher for Miami. But I think for me, it's just the fact that, like, he's always been able to take care of the ball. His biggest thing has been, making sure the ball isn't turned over easily and whatnot. And he's done that. He's done a good job. He's given his chance. He's given his team a chance to win. If their defense can be consistent, they're fine. And I think Miami you need to put some respect on Miami for what they've done because no one expected
them. Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think at this point, I'm going to say that I expect them in the playoffs, but I don't expect them to win the AFC East. That's
100%.
That's unless, my point here.
Unless Buffalo shits the bed.
You got to remember too, Buffalo does like they hold that first tiebreaker game against them. The Bills are yet to lose a divisional game. They're 4-0 in the division. So the Bills, like you would so much rather be in Buffalo's spot here than you would in Miami's. But I think Miami's still going to make the playoffs regardless. And that's mostly to do, I think, with the fact that we now have seven playoff spots.
Well, 100%. But I mean, what? They played the Bills. When did they play the Bills? They finished the season against the Bills.
Yeah. And at that point, unless we're seriously talking about a division lead being on the line, I would not expect anything short of a Jake Frum start in that game.
Like, but here's the thing. Okay, you're 7-2. They're 5-3. So realistically, you know, you've played 9 games. They've played 8. When's your bye week? Or have you already had your bye week? Oh, yeah, your bye week's next week. So realistically, let's say they win. Let's say Miami wins this week. They play the Chargers. They play the Broncos the following week. These are two winnable games for the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Then they play the Jets. And then the Bengals. So you're looking at 4 games in a row that are very winnable. Let's say for whatever reason they win them. Let's say they win all 4. Hypothetical. They're going to be sitting at 9-3. They're going to be sitting, let's say they win the next 2, or they win next week. They're going to be sitting at 6-3 while you're sitting at 7-2, and you have the Chargers. So that realistically, you should be winning. You guys
The Bills play this week. They play Arizona this week, the bye week.
Yeah, so let's say you win. So you're going to be sitting at 8-2.
Yep.
They'll be sitting at 6-3. They win during your bye week. So they're sitting at 7-3. You play the Chargers after your bye week, and then the 49ers. Let's say you win those 3 games. They win their 4. They're sitting at 9-3. You're sitting at 10-2.
Yeah.
That's 1 game difference. You play the Steelers. They play the Chiefs. Then you play the Broncos, the Patriots, and the Dolphins. Realistically, there is a possibility that by that week 17 matchup, the division's on the line.
Could be.
There is a possibility to it. And could I think be. It would be foolish of us to kind of dismiss it.
Oh, I'm not going to dismiss it at all, but I'm saying let's pump the brakes after, you know, two. They're not the best team in the league right now after 2 weeks, right? Like, I think we've gotten, well, the pundits have gotten a little bit caught up in the Tua hype, and I'm more on the train of let's see how this goes, right? Because he's come out electric in his first 2 starts. Nobody knows what to expect from him. How quickly can they adapt? How quickly can they start to neutralize this Dolphins offense? How quickly can teams start beating the Dolphins again?
But how, you know, their defense has had a really good last 2 weeks.
They have.
Is this something that's going to stay? There's a lot of variables, but I think it should be interesting to see how you have 3 divisions, realistically, 3 divisions. Hey, you can make an argument for all 4 divisions. There's no guaranteed division winner anymore in the AFC.
No.
And, you know, realistically, Steelers are 2 games ahead of the Ravens. Cool. We lose to Buffalo. We lose to the Ravens. We're sitting at the same record right then and there. Like we're going to have 2 losses. So, you know, if not, it can change relatively easily. Titans, they're a game ahead of Indianapolis. Who knows? Maybe Indy comes in. They beat Tennessee, whenever their matchup is. KC's 3 games ahead of the Raiders. Their 1 loss comes to the Raiders. Who knows? Maybe the Raiders go on this win streak. KC falters, has a loss or 2 here or there. There's a lot of possibilities.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I feel like the AFC is pretty in tight. I think there's the 1 team we need to talk about. 1 game specifically. The Saints. And
that was the last game I had on my list.
I don't know how many games you had ahead of it.
This was literally the last one that I wrote down.
Okay. Here's my opinion. Brady is not the GOAT. The New England Patriots issue is not because of Belichick and it's not because of Cam Newton. Brady, if you put Cam Newton in Tampa, they have the same record.
That's tough because Cam Newton is pretty bad.
Brady hasn't gone out and really won a game for Tampa either.
No, and it's so weird to me that they come out and they smack Green Bay, and then they come out and they lay the fattest of eggs against the Saints.
Because like, Green Bay's not even that good. Realistically, but, realistically, they were down their number two receiver. They had Jamal Adams, who realistically, if you're forcing other players, they had their their third string running back in that game. They had,
even still, you're talking about New Orleans Saints team that took 800 defensive pass interference penalties in the first 2 weeks.
That's
that
true.
Team that Michael Thomas got suspended because he sucker punched Chauncey Gardner Johnson because he couldn't cover for shit. How do you get blown out to that team?
Because it's Drew Brees. It's Drew Brees, and people were hyping up the Bucs.
You have Mike Evans, you have Ronald Jones, you have Leonard Fournette, you've got Chris Godwin, you've got Antonio Brown on your team now. You've
overrated.
Your whole team's a Pro Bowl roster.
Yeah.
How did you get blown out?
Because they're not that good. Their defense isn't that good. Their defense has been playing above expectation or above skill level. Their offense isn't that good because people don't know how that offense doesn't know how to run if they don't have the ball in their hand. How do you expect a guy like Mike Evans and Antonio Brown to work together? Because they both are ball. They're both ball dominant. This isn't Larry Fitz and DeAndre Hopkins who understand and know that they need to win. And the best way to win is that if they're, sharing the play and sharing the ball instead of one being forced it. No player in Tampa has come out or has probably realized, if we're going to win, we're going to need to win as a team. And there's no more individual players. There are too many players on Tampa are playing for the name on the back instead of the name on their jersey, on the front of their jersey, or the logo on the helmet. It's a lot of me, me, me on that team. Tom Brady is a me, me, me kind of guy. And that is why he didn't work with Belichick. That's why his relationship soured with Belichick, is because Belichick isn't a me, me kind of guy, but Brady is. It's all about me. It's all about me. It's all about me.
Do you think the New Orleans Saints have put as much of a stranglehold on a division you can have when you're only half a game up?
No, because realistically, the Saints have been inconsistent, and if
they've won five in a row,
yeah, and if they lose one more and the Bucs win, guess what? They're losing the division again.
That's true.
Like, you have the head to head, which is fantastic. Which, don't get me wrong, that's great to have. But considering the rest of their schedule, they have the 49ers this week, should be a win. They have the Falcons, should be a win. And then they have the Broncos. This is literally their next rest of the season. 49ers should be a win.
Inconsistency, Falcons.
But if you look at their schedule, 49ers should be a win because they don't have Jimmy G and Kittle. Should be a win. Falcons should be a win. Broncos, going to be a tough game, should be a win. And then they have the Falcons, Eagles, Chiefs, Vikings, and Panthers. There's only two games on that schedule that terrify me. Panthers and Chiefs.
Yeah.
The Saints, if they can continue to win, they're fine. If you look at the Bucs schedule, they have the Panthers. That should scare them because Teddy Bridgewater, Christian McCaffrey, and co. are great. They have
When is that game? Panthers McCaffrey's hurt again.
When did McCaffrey get hurt again?
Last week.
Of course he did. But it's
so this if you got rid of Mike Davis in fantasy, rip.
But you have Carolina, and Teddy Bridgewater is doing things in Carolina. They lost 2 points. Lost by 2 points.
That's going to be a good team. I don't think we gave Teddy Bridgewater enough credit for how good he is.
And then they have the Rams. You say what you want, but the Rams are going to be a tough game. You have Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald can single-handedly win you a game.
The Rams like to play tough. They're a tough team to beat, even though they're not that good. That defense, it's mostly offense that screws them over, but their defense is pretty solid.
Then they have the Chiefs. Realistically, I'm picking the Chiefs over the Bucs any day of the week.
Yeah, that's going to be a matchup, though. That'll be fun to watch.
They have a bye week in December. They get the late bye because it's Tom Brady. And they have an easy 4 weeks. They have the Vikings, Falcons, Lions, Falcons.
Could those end up being interesting games? Because you're talking about a Minnesota Vikings team that, as we mentioned last week,
if they lose two of their next three games, they need to win all four.
But like, you're talking about a Vikings team realistically could be competing for a playoff spot at that point, because like, look at the Chicago Bears. They've lost their last three games.
Yeah, because they're trash. They've been trash. So, they got lucky in the beginning of the season.
Exactly. But here come the Minnesota Vikings starting to get hot at the right time. And you're looking at one of the teams that's ahead of you falling like crazy because, well, guess what? Nick Foles is not better than Mitch Trubisky after all. And your offense is worse with him.
Yeah. And I mean,
they might as well just play with no quarterback, to be honest with you, Shane.
We'll see what the new play caller comes up with. But realistically,
that they won't name.
I wonder how much that's going to be Henry Burris. But anyway,
why are they doing that?
I don't know.
Tell us who it is.
I don't know. But realistically, you're looking at two games over the next 3 weeks. You cannot afford to lose two games in the next 3 weeks.
No.
You cannot drop to 6-5 or 7-5 heading into your bye week. You need to be 8-4 or 9-3 heading into your bye week, because I highly doubt the Saints, who have a relatively easy schedule the next 3 weeks, are going to lose any of their games. I would be very surprised if the Saints go 2-1 or 1-2 over their next 3 weeks.
Speaking of needing to win their next slate of games, do you want to move on to our picks for next week before we run out of time here?
Yeah.
Just a note of where we are at from last week. The only difference between Shane and I last week was Shane picked the Jets, and that almost happened, but it didn't. So
last second field goal, but like, yo, how much would that have sucked for you?
Oh my God. If the Jets would have won that game, I think I would have quit this podcast.
No, you wouldn't have.
That I was like, oh my God, I think it would be hilarious if the Patriots lost to the Jets, because screw the Patriots. Like, I think you could agree with that. Screw the Patriots.
Yeah, they deserve everything that's happening to them.
Exactly.
Right now.
Deal with it, Patriots fans. I hope it takes you 20 years to get relevant again. Just so you know the suffering you put Buffalo through, and you put Miami through, and you put the Jets through. Oh, and everybody else too, because we all loved watching you win 6 Super Bowls.
Get to the point.
Yeah, I thought it would have been hilarious if they would have lost to the Jets, but they didn't, so I benefit off of that. So you finished the week 9-5. I finished at 10-4. As of right now, you're 88-42-1. I'm 84-46-1.
Wow, I still gave you a petty win, and you still are down by 4.
Well, we had all of our picks were the same last week, except for that one game.
True.
But just like Donald Trump, we are going to demand a recount at the end. I'm going to recount everything, see if I made a mistake anywhere. And
okay, I'm going to make sure this is right. I'm going to have to verify this.
What, the recount?
Yeah, I'm going to have to.
There's no money on the line here. We're good.
No, just bragging rights.
Just bragging rights.
Yeah, it's almost as more as money.
We'll make 2 extra columns for each of us to do our recounts in, okay?
Okay.
Perfect. Yeah. Cool. But anyway, pardon my cough. But anyway, like I said, you went 9-5. I went 10-4.
I'm taking the Colts this week, Thursday night.
You're taking the Colts over the Titans.
Yeah.
Did you just give me another pity win?
See, I don't know, because I think, you know, I think that they've had a really good stretch of games. Titans have struggled. I think if this one's going to be a close one. I don't think there's a really, like, it's a toss-up between the two.
I'm just double-checking. Yeah, that's a divisional game. That's a big game, too. If Colts manage to come away with that, they'll be tied with the Titans. And I don't know if they've played one another previously.
No, they literally played each other twice over the next 3 weeks.
So, essentially, whoever wins that game will be first in that conference.
Yeah, so like, I just that's a big game. I like the Titans. Don't get me wrong. I think Derrick Henry will do damage. And I want to pick the Titans, but just for the fact of being different, I'm going to pick the Colts. Okay. I'm going to risk a win because I'm 4 ahead.
That was my strategy, Shane, and then I was five behind, okay?
So careful. Yeah, because I would laugh at you and be like, dude, there was like four games. There was literally, I think the first like 3 weeks, there was games that were literally decided on the final drive. And I'm like, bro, if these went the other way, you would be buried by now.
Yeah. Well, you went 9-7 at week one, and that's because you picked just a ton of games that changed on you at the last second.
Yeah, that Chicago game was the big one.
I think you picked the Falcons in that game where they blew that hugely to the Cowboys too. So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, that was fun. No, I picked the Cowboys that game.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, either way. Did you? I don't know.
Yeah, I picked the Cowboys that game.
Anyway, the next game we're looking at here, Houston Texans, Cleveland Browns.
I'm taking.
Sorry, you cut out.
I'm
Uh-oh, are we having technical difficulties here, Shane?
I don't think so. I'm taking Houston. Houston okay. For 500.
Gotcha. Okay. I'm kind of torn here. I don't really know how important Odell Beckham Jr. is to that Cleveland team. I don't know. This is a tough one. My brain and my heart says Cleveland. So I'm taking
Cleveland.
I'm taking the Browns. So there we go. We've already got more games that are different this week than we did last.
Yep.
And here's another one that might go a different way. The Washington football team and the Detroit Lions.
Detroit.
I am taking the Lions as well because I don't think they're all that terrible, even though they're terrible.
I also don't know who's going to start in quarterback. And like, cool, if Kallen Allen doesn't and Alex Smith does.
Oh, Kyle Allen's not starting. Dude, he's done.
He's done?
No way. Did you see his injury?
No, I did not. I thought it was a concussion.
His foot was facing the wrong way.
Oh, I thought it was a concussion.
No.
Yeah,
his foot was facing the wrong way, man.
Yeah, no, I think Stafford will
take. Do you want me to get you the clip? Do you want to see it or what?
Nope, I'm good. I am good.
Yeah, it was very not similar to the Dak one. I don't think it was quite that bad, but he got hit low and he rolled on the ground and you can see his foot kind of dangling off the bone a little bit, but so yeah, that's fun. Yeah. Here we go. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Carolina Panthers.
Panthers all the way. Keep pounding.
Do you know what? If you had said the Buccaneers here, I was going to take the Panthers. But since you said the Panthers, Tom Brady's having a bounce back week.
Oh, so you're trying to lose, eh?
I'm not trying to lose. I got to make up some ground here. I got to make up some ground here. I'm
or taking lose the ground.
I could lose ground, but you know what, man? That's okay.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a toss-up. I know Tom Brady's probably going to come out with some fire in his butt and whatnot. In his butt, yeah. He's going to have some fire in his butt.
Okay, sure.
And I got Teddy Bridgewater, baby. Teddy Bridgewater and co.
Teddy's good. I think
– lost by two to KC. Lost by two.
Is there a player in the NFL that you can point to and say that the entire NFL fan base is behind him more than Teddy Bridgewater?
Nope.
Like that guy's like beloved by everybody. It doesn't matter who you cheer for, you're a Teddy Bridgewater fan.
Yeah. Everybody right, on to the next team.
I'm sorry, Shane. Are you in a hurry?
Yeah, I have to. It's 9 o'clock. I have to go edit my other podcast. I'll send you to eat. So
gotcha. Okay, so we'll fire through this then. We'll be out of here by 9:30. Game everybody's tuning into this week, Eagles-Giants.
Giants.
I'm taking the Eagles. The Giants suck.
So do the Eagles.
The Eagles have Carson Wentz, and if I believe in anything, it's that Carson Wentz is okay enough to make the Eagles
they
win.
They gave up. The okay, so here's the thing. They had four turnovers. This is how bad the Dallas Cowboys offense was during that game. They turned the Eagles turned the ball over four times and they still lost. Like they still won. I don't think you can make that many mistakes with the Giants and still win.
Are you giving the Giants respect?
Yeah, because it's a shit. That division is shit.
Crazy. Anyway. Jaguars and Packers.
Taking the Packers.
Is Jake Luton still starting?
I have no idea. I don't care for the Jags anymore.
Why are they benching Minshew? Like, oh, no, he's hurt now, eh?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Yeah,
because he told the team doctors in early stages of the season that he had thumb pain, and they didn't think of anything of it, and then x-rayed it like 6 weeks later and found out, oh, yeah, like that whole thing is just broken to shit.
Yeah, it's out, he's out with a thumb injury.
Yeah. So we're both the Packers there. Cardinals are hosting the Buffalo Bills this week.
Well, I'm assuming you're going to take the Bills. I'm going to take the Cards.
And you were right. I was going to take the
Cardinals. Should have taken the Bills last week, eh? Should have stuck with your team.
You know
should've
what?
Stuck with your team.
I did not have faith that they were going to win that game. I was very pleasantly surprised.
You are a bad part of Bills Mafia. How it's can not, you not?
It's not being a bad part of Bills Mafia. It's picking the team that I think is going to win. They say don't bet on your favorite team. They say that for a reason.
I bet on my favorite team all the time, and I'm 8-0.
That's a dumb idea. Well, that's because you're fit. You, whatever.
Win or lose, I'm betting the. I don't care. I'm betting the Steelers.
Los Angeles Chargers and the Miami Dolphins. Game that we've already talked about a little bit.
Dolphins.
This is actually going to be a fun game to watch. And that being said, Justin Herbert's going to win the duel.
I'm going Dolphins.
All right. Well, we got very different picks this week, Shane. I'm going with the Chargers. Justin Herbert's going to get the better of Tua Tagovailoa in the first matchup of
Let's pick go. What? I need to go. First round picks, the top five. Come on. Yeah.
Denver Broncos, Las Vegas Raiders.
Broncos. Actually, no. No, Raiders.
Maybe do that after I already typed it in.
I'm going to take the Raiders.
I'm also taking the Raiders in that one. Derek Carr is good. Seahawks and the Rams.
Seahawks. I think that Russell Wilson has a bounce back performance.
I'm also thinking that because there's no way they could be worse than they were last week. Bengals, Steelers. I know where you're going.
I'll Steelers, just baby.
Here now.
Steelers, baby.
I have to go here as well. I don't think they are going to pull the Titans and lose to the Bengals. 49ers and the Saints.
Saints.
That's where I'm going as well because the Niners are just too injured. Baltimore Ravens, New England Patriots.
Baltimore.
I was hoping you'd say New England. I'm going with the Ravens as well. That's another pretty obvious one. Minnesota Vikings, Chicago Bears. Big game again.
Vikings. Fuck the Bears. I think I bet on the Bears once this year, and they lost that one.
I took them throughout their 4-0 start.
Yeah, and I bet against them on their 4-0 start.
Yeah.
And the one time I bet on them, they lost, and I stopped betting on them.
Yeah. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6 games that are different this week.
Yep. It's going to be a big swing.
So
you can get right back into it in leading if I go 0-6.
Yeah. Well, that's – we could theoretically be back in square one by the end of this too. But –
Hey, I could have a 6-point. I could have a ten game lead on you too.
I just need to go net positive this week. That's all I can ask for. Because after this, Shane, we got 6 weeks. 6 weeks for the rest of this.
As long as they win each week, I'm good.
That's Are we doing playoff pick'ems too, or what?
Most likely, but that won't count. We'll do our regular season and then our playoffs. But anyways, guys, we'll wrap this one up. It's been a little bit more than an hour. I think we're going to try keeping our episodes to kind of an hour, but there was a lot to talk about, a lot of rambling about the Steelers and the Bills because that's kind of who our teams are.
Yeah. But and anyway. I mean, like normally we don't have too much CFL stuff in here, even though that is kind of temporary, but there was some big CFL news. NFL stuff is very temporary. So once the CFL gets back, we're going back to that. So
unless you guys like the NFL stuff and then we can do both the NFL and the CFL once they kind of integrate in the fall. But anyways, that's something we'll talk about later. Thank you guys for listening. For myself and for Frankie, thank you for joining us again. Everyone who viewed us live, we appreciate the help. You can find us 13th Man Pod, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. We're all there. Myself, Shane underscore Ryan on 97, Frankie at HPR underscore Frankie 13. You can follow my Sens podcast at Sens underscore Hour, Frankie's Hockey Prospects Report. What is it? HPR
underscore podcast on Twitter and HPR podcast on Facebook.
See, he knows what's up. And again, guys, Christmas is around the corner. So remember to head on over to our Redbubble page. There will be links in the on our Twitter and on our Facebook page and on our the Instagram and on our website. Head on over there, grab your 13th man merch for your loved ones, as well as if you want anything else, let us know if you're looking for anything specific. We plan on rolling out toques in the next couple of weeks. So probably by next week's episode, we'll have toques out. We'll probably just keep them in black and white. So if you're interested in toques, there will be on that. So you should keep a post on that. They'll be about $35. So yeah, we'll keep an eye out on there for that. Frankie, anything to add?
Not really. I think we're good.
Yeah. Again, guys, thank you for tuning in. We will catch you here next week with a brand new episode of the 13th Man Podcast. And thank you for joining in. Stay safe, and we'll catch you later.